Episode 68, The Rant. Blake Redford, shadow reffing, mirror officiating, taking a look at himself to be the best that he can be as an official in basketball. Failure is something that I and Blake can relate to. Like me, he failed the first time he tried to get certified for basketball. Only the first time I failed, it was the first time he passed on his second go-round. In this pod, he discusses his playing style at Manhasset, his journey as an official, and the stickiest situation that I've ever heard in officiating to date. All that and more, my conversation with Blake, now.
The Rant has been brought to you by Roar Organic. Everything your body needs, nothing it doesn't. There's a reason they say variety is the spice of life, and with their new organic line comes the following exciting flavors. Georgia peach, blueberry acai, cucumber watermelon, mango clementine, pineapple mint, strawberry coconut. Ah! Roar Organic uses a proprietary electrolyte blend created with organic coconut water, organic cane sugar, and sea salt. It's non-GMO, vegan-friendly, gluten-free, no artificial colors or flavors, no preservatives, and no artificial sweeteners. Just 2 grams of sugar and only 10 calories per serving. Visit roar.land and use the code REFEREERANT, one word, in the checkout and receive 10% off your next purchase. That's roar.land, code REFEREERANT. The Rant has been brought to you by the revolutionary product for referees and all professionals alike, knee tucks. What the tuck? Traditional shirt stays have been tried and true, but never accounted for those professionals that have shorts as uniforms. What do you do when you officiate soccer or lacrosse or even basketball in the summer? Don't forget about baseball umpires, too. Enter knee tucks, which come in style and active versions. Don't get it twisted. You can even wear them at your 9-to-5, too. Listeners of The Rant can visit kneetucks.com and enter the coupon code REFEREERANT, one word, and receive 20% off your initial order. That's REFEREERANT, one word. Happy tucking. Welcome to another edition of The Rant. I'm your host, Ralph the Ref, with a special guest. Elite Board 41 member, varsity basketball official, PSAL, New York City Catholic League basketball official, Blake Redford. What's good, bro?
Everything cool, man.
So I met this young man. I don't even remember where I met you.
I remember.
I purposely forgot. Well, I didn't purposely forget, but I wanted to see if you remembered. So where did we meet?
Well, we met in class.
I probably met the first class that I failed. Was Arette in your class?
Arette was in my class.
Okay, so that was that was the class that I failed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because that's how I remember. He's like, I recognize you. And that was the one where I was helping him with the computer, right?
I was
helping him with the computer.
Yeah.
I was the Kellenberg guy with the, and we was in Baldwin High School.
Yep, yes, exactly.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I remember that.
We first ref together, New Hot Park versus Lawrence.
Yes, yes. And my boy watched Irv, right?
Yep.
And I was like, damn, he's pretty good. He's doing city games already, man. I need to catch up.
Yeah, that was my first year of City Catholic.
We're going to get through all that, but nonetheless, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it.
So let's go all the way back. Okay, we have an affinity for basketball. So other than that, and we could talk about basketball, what did you play growing up? What were you doing in middle school, high school, and what did you play in college?
Well, throughout middle school and high school, I played football, basketball, ran track. Not to toot my own horn, but I was good at all three. Middle school, my mindset was focused on football. I was going to take football more serious than basketball. But as I grew throughout the summer and started getting into more leagues, my main focus was basketball. As far as track, I didn't take it serious as far as like trying to make it to the next level. But I did practice hard. And we had a good track team. We never lost as a team. We're undefeated all the years I've been running.
And you went to Manhasset, right?
Manhasset High School. We went to Penn Relays a few years. We won my sophomore year. We didn't win over there, but we won a couple heats as far as our relay.
Would you run 4x1, 4x2?
4x1, 4x2.
Anchor?
200. Now we switched off, me and anchor.
So you three or four?
Second leg or...
Second or fourth?
Second or fourth. The straightaways.
I could see that.
Yeah, I wasn't too...
You're not the turn guy?
Nah, I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Can I do it? Yes, but I wasn't really with it, so...
Okay.
My was my main focus.
So I know you're a little bit younger than me, but I just wanted to discuss your, I guess, your high school career in playing basketball. So let's set the scene. We're in Manhasset, and it's always like an internal rivalry. Not that you guys played each other, but right. There's the St. Mary's and also Manhasset, and it's always, were you guys good when you were at the varsity level?
My sophomore year, well, matter of fact, every year we was good. But my sophomore year, I think we had the best Manhasset team. We was big, we was strong, athletic. And that was the last year, speaking about St. Mary's, that was the last year St. Mary's was in our tournament.
Mm.
And they actually took it. That's when they had Joel Suarez, Preston Brothers.
I remember them. They had, what's his name, Mamadou?
They had Mamadou Diakite, whatever. Diaco, something
I just
like
remember
that.
He looked like a...
He was a man amongst children, yes. Basically. But we didn't play them that year. We lost. I think we lost in the first round. The first time we ever lost in the first round. And it's Port Washington that year. But we was a strong team. Strong team. One of the favorites to come out of Nassau, but fortunately we lost to Glen Cove that year.
Mm.
They had a strong team. Strong team.
So after everything wrapped up with football, basketball, and then track during your senior season, did you end up playing in college?
I played junior college up at SUNY Cobleskill. I played, football was over. High school was my last year of playing football. Little story behind that. I did have football scholarships. But
Your heart wasn't in it? You wanted to play
my
ball?
My heart wasn't in it no
Got
more.
You.
And as I look back, maybe I should have took on them scholarships.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. No regrets. It's part of life.
Mm.
But yeah, speaking of college, I went up to SUNY Cobleskill. Played 2 years there. My second year, we was ranked number 3 or 4 in the country. We had a strong team that year. And my freshman year at Cobleskill, I also ran track. But I wasn't into it no more. It just wasn't the same. So I quit. Normally, I don't quit anything. But it's just, I wasn't practicing. I just want to focus on finishing school and basketball. So, but basketball, it was a highlight of my college year. So that was my main focus.
Mm. So in terms of all of your experience playing all of these sports, what was your perception like? And I always ask this question, what was your perception of officials when you were playing in high school and also in college? Did you ever even give them any thought? Were you somebody that was a complainer?
I was more of that player that tried to get on the ref's good side. So I never complained to the ref. As I look back, I never really complained, but I always told the refs, watch this, watch that. This guy's doing this. I might have complained about a few calls, like maybe obvious calls, but I never really was the one to talk to the ref. I just played my game.
Mm.
I was more of talking trash to the players. I was doing a little sneaky stuff out there.
Mm.
Not to get me in trouble, but, you know, just to get a little edge, get into players' heads. So I was that player. As far as talking to the refs, nah, I never complained.
Mm. So right after college, did you just take a clean break from playing any sports? Because it sounds like you had a heavy load from high school all the way to college. Did you just take a clean break
for a
little bit? Or did you still play ball?
I continued playing in leagues. Like little small leagues here and there. I played in played at the Y in Little Neck. I played there a few times. Mini Island Garden tournaments. I played in a lot of different tournaments. People just call me, pick me up. I just go to different leagues and games. So, and then when referees started, that's when all that slowed down.
Mm.
So I had to focus on referee after that.
Well, let's get into that. So you were playing heavy. You were in the adult league circuit, and you were playing in all these summer tournaments. So what got you the bug? How did you start getting into officiating basketball?
Well, I met Kareem Smith. I met him at the gym, LA Fitness. And it's been years. I mean, I want to say about, he tried to get me on for like 3 years at a time. I want to say 07, around 07.
So you're doing tricep curls and he's like, yo, man, you need to start reffing. And
actually, we was both on a pull-up ball. And I asked him, can I work in? He was like, yeah, go ahead, get money, go ahead. So we talking on a pull-up ball. And we played on the courts together many a times at the gym.
Not talking about reffing, none of that.
We was just, so he, one day, I come in the afternoons, get him a jab. I didn't even know his name at the time.
Oh, I know. So, you know when you meet somebody at the gym, you're like, yo.
Yeah. So we just talking. And he was like, yo, what's your name? I'm like, it's Blake. He was like, I'm Reen, blah, blah, blah. He was like, you ever think about reffing? I see you always on the court balling. And I'm like, reffing? Nah, man. I ain't into no reffing, man. He was like, you sure? I said, I ain't doing no reffing. Reffing ain't for me. He was like, you don't know what you're missing, man. He was like, you got the look, the clean look, you got the body for it. He said, I could tell that you're confident. He's like, that's just a small part of reffing. He was like, you could do it. I'm like, nah. So saw me the next year, even though we were seeing each other throughout the years, he was telling me, think about it. So, you know, 2010, he was like, listen, you got to get on, man. He was like, you still balling? He was like, you want to ball or make money? He was like, because ain't none of us making it to the league. So he was like, you could have that aspiration in the ref to make money on the high school circuit, college, and if you want to try the NBA, that's on you, but let's start small. I said, you know what? I take a shot. So 2010, took the class, failed. My mind wasn't in it. And I took the year. I didn't even try the following year. The year after that. I think I went back probably like 3 years later.
That sounds about right. That's when I failed.
Yeah, 2013. Mm-hmm. I did the class and passed. And then from there on out, we took the test. The floor test was in January of 14.
Mm-hmm.
And then from that point on, 2 weeks later, Kareem got me in the league. And that's when I got introduced to Lavelle and the rest of the crew. And then basically they was my mentors from there on out. Lavelle, Kareem Smith, and Sean Morgan I met like a few years back. And Sean Morgan always checks up on me, see how I'm doing. Kareem, all of them just check up on me and see where I'm progressing. I don't speak to them all the time because I'm at a point where they're expecting me to be. So... Those are my mentors, as well as Steve McKay. He was my big brother on Ball 41, and he checks up on me as well throughout the season. So those are really the four dudes I talk to throughout the season in the summer, basically, you know, to come see me ref or if I have any questions. So those are my mentors.
Before I go back to the question that I was going to ask you, right. I wanted to ask you another question. What, in 2010, when you initially took the class, what made you think that your mind wasn't in it? Do you think that you still had a player's mentality? And, you know, once you heard the A1, B1, you were like, oh, this is nuts. I'm not into this.
Nah, it was more personal.
Just going through some things.
Yeah, it was going through some things where it was taking my mind out the ref books, taking my mind out of class. So when it's crazy because when I did fail the test, I only failed by like, I think I got like 7 wrong. So maybe one off. So yeah, it was mainly personal things. But
you happy you took it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm. And absolutely. You were more focused and
much more focused.
Word. So let's go back to your first experience officiating. Do you remember that moment? Do you remember how you felt when, aside from the floor test, now you're in the jungle, now you're in the field training?
I was reffing the Uniondale PAL at Lawrence Road. I had my very first game there. It's funny, my shirt big. And it wasn't fitted. And I forgot who I was reffing with. I know who it is. I can see him, but I can't get the name. But anyway, he helped me out on the floor. He was letting me know I need a stronger whistle. I need to sell my calls. I had fun out there, honestly. I didn't think I would, but I had fun out there. But the strange, I want to fast forward to my first season. That whole season, I was questioning ref.
Why?
Fishy. I want to say mentally I wasn't into the games. I didn't have as much confidence and faith in myself that I usually have as far as playing ball. Like I said, I'm not the type of person that gives up. And on top of that, throughout the season, I didn't see any progress. I don't know if it wasn't, I didn't have enough games. I don't know if the competition was strong enough for me. But I just didn't see any progress, and I felt like I was wasting my time. But that all changed that summer. The summer of 2015, it all changed.
And what informed you of that change? What made your mindset change because of it?
I just worked on the craft. Got my head in the book, got a little bit more focus, and the competition was getting better. And I knew I had a thick skin for it. I was always able to handle a crowd. The crowd never bothered me. Not my first year. Not when I went into the parks. That's just my mentality. No one on the outside bothers me. So I felt like with that, I was a little bit ahead of the game than most refs that probably stepped in and was bothered by the crowd. It never, oh, ref, you garbage, blah, blah, blah. You don't know what you... That never bothered me.
That never bothered me either.
So it was just more of, I was getting the older kids now. I was reffing more. In the beginning, it was a lot of 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 9-year-olds. And I'm questioning myself, like, what am I doing out here? But, you know, you got to take your steps. Me, I want to jump right into it.
Yeah. It's like the first Karate Kid where they're like, yo, Lavelle and Reem would be like, yo, you got to paint the fence. And you're like, yo, I'm done with all this,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What is this for?
Right.
Why are we doing this? And I'll say, because you can relate as a player, you know, I always talk about in the pod of the benefits of playing and having the feel.
Right.
But then there's another component of playing that kind of debilitates your ability to officiate. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes, for instance, if you're a point guard, right, you bring up the ball, chances are you're not going to crash for a rebound. You're going to be the first one back on D.
Right.
You just know your responsibilities because, it, like, out of the game, out of 10 things, you probably only are really responsible for two, right? If you're a big guy, you're responsible for rebounding. You're responsible for not being in foul trouble. But when you referee, and especially when you start learning how to referee off the ball, we're talking about 20 different responsibilities. That's a lot harder than being a point guard, I think, personally. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know what it is? And we all did it. It's called ball watching.
And that's in the beginning, too. And and for me, too, like, I play like Dennis Rodman. I play like a butch, straight butch. I'm not used to playing with referees. So
right.
A lot of the times, I remember in the beginning, you know, I'd see a foul, I'm like, man, that ain't no foul. Come on. That ain't no foul. And they yelling at you. I'm like, wait, I got to stop thinking like I'm playing.
But that's, I think if you're a ball player and you get into reffing, or should I say officiating, that's how you start reffing. Like, you officiate the game the way you used to play. So if you feel like, yeah, he might have got touched, but it really wasn't a foul, you're not going to blow your whistle. But, you know, it comes with the game. It comes with those vets who ref with you and let you know about the game. You got to blow that whistle. We're not in a park. We're not in between the lines. We're not playing ball with these guys. We reffing. We're officiating the game the way the game's supposed to be officiated. So we got to blow that whistle. And that was my issue. I was officiating as if I was one of those guys out there playing. You get what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
so I had to get myself or my mind out of that basically situation. and understand that I got the stripes on and get into the ref mode. But it takes time. I mean, it's a process.
Yes, definitely. So after the summer 2015, that obviously informed you to take it serious and that you had to be more serious. You had to take a step in order for it to take a step for you.
Right.
Now, when was the moment where you started taking it serious in terms of the quality of your schedule, of starting to seek out higher level games and aspiring to be on the varsity level?
I want to say the middle of my third season, I started to see progress because I was already watching some of my games. I have certain people, or my fiance, I used to have her come to the games and tape some of my games. So I used to watch my games before I was told to watch my games. Mm-hmm. So I used to see progress, not in all the games, but from the middle of the season, I mean, from the beginning of the season, middle of the season, towards the end, I saw progress looking at my games. And I heard whispers out there and people telling me, letting me know that I'm progressing. I still need to work, but I'm progressing. I should be on varsity in no time. And a lot of that stuff is that feel-good, you know, talk. Like, you hear it, but you can't get comfortable with it.
Right.
So you would hear it, but that made me want to work on my craft more.
Mm.
That made me actually, that's when I started to get in the mirror. I got in the mirror, boop, boop, go outside, shadows, boop, blow my whistle. That's when I really started getting into it. But I say after my third season, that's when I got confident. Or more confidence and wanted to push it further.
Mm.
So, like I said, it's a process. I know a step. So, at that time, my mindset was varsity. I got to get to the varsity level. And then, during that whole time, towards the end of my season, I said, I'm going to do PSAL next year, which didn't happen. I'll tell you about that later. PSAL, City Catholic and Long Island Catholic, and that was my goal. And out of those three leagues, I got into two. Supposed to get into PSAL. I went to the camp, did my scheduling, and didn't get my fingerprints.
Yo, those fingerprints take like 12 weeks.
But the thing about that is, I kept on going on a schedule. Like, yo, this guy's not giving me no games. I'm not getting any games. What Brimmer doing? And then I actually seen him at a St. John's game. He was like, yo, what's going on? He was like, I thought you was going to be on board. I said, I was. I said, I didn't get a schedule. And then he was like, what happened with the fingerprints? Did you get your fingerprints? I got quiet. I looked at him. I'm like, oh, man. I'm like, nah. He's like, that's the issue. You got to get your fingerprints. I was like, so I actually got my fingerprints that year. But the thing that held me back was that was my first year of doing Catholic Long Island and Catholic City. And Phil loaded me up with games. My very first year loaded me up with games.
And how was that experience doing those games?
Yeah.
That changed everything, right?
Changed everything.
I think in the beginning, too, because, you know, LaBelle and Kareem, as much as they pushed you, they're also not going to be there. And that's how I mentor, too.
Right.
Like, I'll do the periodic check-in, like,
right,
just to make sure that you're serious about it.
Right.
So that way I can take a step forward to make sure that you're in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Because I don't want to be the one that's pushing you, and you don't want to push yourself. You feel the same way, right? But I think the thing for me, because I always say that the Catholic League in the city was a transformative experience for me as well, is because, why, we're reffing with college officials all the time.
Right.
So it's not even a situation where you like, now I aspire. Now you feel like you're in between of going, I can't believe I'm doing this.
Right.
To,
right,
you know, I kind of belong. You know, I'm not too far from college. And I remember in the beginning when somebody was like, wow, you're a college official. I'd be like, wow, I want to get your autograph. But now I feel like it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty sure you feel the same way.
Right, absolutely.
So discuss your first experiences doing City Catholic.
the gameplay was faster.
Way faster.
A lot faster. And although I started off at JV, it felt like I was doing varsity games. I had some pretty good... I can't go back right now to talk about the teams, but my first three games are tough, competitive. And the coaches know their stuff. Mm. Some of them know the rules. Mm. And I wasn't used to that.
Right.
So the experience, the play, the competition, and the level of play, each game in and game out, my confidence grew. Mm. My confidence grew. So reffing in the City Catholic definitely boosted my confidence and my play calling and basically my patience. And it's crazy to say that, but because I felt more that the younger kids, when you first start off the little fifth grade, fourth graders, CYO, they really can't play like that, some teams. So you got to be patient. You got to build that patience. And I felt the patience with that helped me have patience when I got to the City Catholic. But it's a different type of patience. It's, my patience with the kids is more of just being relaxed on the court. Getting to the Catholic, my patience is the play calling. So my mindset going into a lot of games was, Blake, be patient. Be patient. Don't be too quick to whistle and let the play go through before you blow your whistle. Mm. So I started my play calling became, I won't say started, my play calling started to develop at that point. Mm. When I got with the City Catholic.
Yeah, and speaking of City Catholic, I know we were talking about off air that I attended a Catholic Long Island camp today, which was a good experience. However, I want to bring it back to 2 weeks ago when we went to the Phil right. Celestio family camp,
right.
which was probably, bar none, the craziest camp I've ever been to, because normally the camps are generally built around mm-hmm. a summer camp
yep.
where there's typically younger kids. And you got high-level refs, but reffing younger kids.
Right.
This was the first time when we had AA talent all in the same building. And their stakes were high for them as well because a lot of college coaches were coming to check D1, D2, D3. And a lot of kids were vying for scholarships.
A lot of big-time colleges.
Crazy. So, you know, I just wanted to talk about your experience doing that. I know I kept, you know, when you were leaving, I was coming. And when I was coming, you were leaving.
Right, right.
So just wanted to discuss, you know, how you felt about that camp and what it did for your development and growth as an official as well.
Best camp I went to, bar none. The level of play was high every game.
Yeah, they were all trying to get some D1 scholarships.
The level of play was high every single game. It didn't matter what court you were on. The level of play was high.
Even if a team was down by 40, they were trying to dunk on somebody.
It was still going.
Yep.
It was still going. I want to go back to 2 weeks ago. We had the first game, actually. Me, Londell, and Arette. We had the first game. We wasn't even a minute or two into the game. They already above the rim. Mm. Trying to dunk. Getting fouled. They going to one end. Another dunk. We all looking at each other like we didn't even warm up yet. But we already knew from that point, we knew what we was going to have for the rest of the weekend. And that's what it was. High-level basketball. Day in and day out. It was high-level basketball. So, I needed that. For a summer camp, I think every camp should have that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it won't be like that.
No. Because you got to artificially feel as though it's like that.
Right.
And this is the first time that it's really sink or swim. Like, yeah. We can say that we're ready for varsity, but you could really tell if you're ready for varsity or not. Right then and there.
I felt reffing that and a lot of these kids that's actually going D1. A few kids that we reffed that's going D1. I would say that I'm definitely ready for varsity. I felt confident. I felt strong out there. Maybe that might have been the most consistent camp weekend or three straight days of officiating basketball where I say I was the most consistent. My mechanics were sharp. I was communicating more. My play calling was there. I made sure my primaries were covered. It was just that camp. That camp was probably, it was the best camp I ever been to. I've been to Ty Abel camp. I always felt that was the best as far as like structural wise and your mechanics, working on your mechanics and being observed. I always felt like Ty Abel camp was probably the best, but I got all of that 1 weekend plus more. With Phil's camp.
Yeah, and we got free soap and a deodorant bar,
free
too.
Free soap and deodorant. I don't know what kind of message he was throwing out there for some of us.
No showers, though. They ain't got no showers over there.
No showers, but I guess he's trying to tell some of the refs to clean up.
So, otherwise, what are your plans for the summer? Do you have any more camps? And how has your mindset changed from that experience as well as the beginning of when you first started going to camps? Do you feel like you're much more relaxed now and you know what to kind of look out for?
I could say my confidence grew even more than what I had. But it made me want it more, should I say. I want to get to that next level now. So I'm still in the mirror. I'm in the book more. I could say that. The past 2 weeks.
You sound like you're really in the book now.
The past 2 weeks, I've been in that book. I'm not going to lie, I really haven't. Like, I've kept my head in the book, but it was a lot of questions I was asking the observers that made me question myself. Like, do you have your head in the book? Like,
yeah, they were like, that's 4.3.7. What's wrong with you?
I have my head in the book now. So, I just want to be more prepared for the upcoming season. For whatever is brought to me or presented to me as far as games, I just want to be ready. So I don't want to go into the season and I don't want to be that guy where it's like, damn, I haven't reffed in like a month. Nah. I'm going to make sure I'm sharp. Even if I haven't reffed in 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to make sure I'm outside looking at my shadow. Make sure I'm in the mirror. Make sure my head is in the book. So, I can honestly say that I'm keeping myself more sharp than any other years I've been reffing.
So I know you mentioned Kareem Smith.
Right.
Lavelle Cannon.
Those are my guys.
Sean Morgan.
Those are my
List
guys.
Any other mentors that you have, and how do you think all of those gave you the ingredients to, I guess, kind of help newer guys? How have they shaped the way you help guys after you?
Well, you forgot Stephen McKay.
McDade.
I take a little bit from all of them. I watched Sean ref a couple times. Kareem, I saw him, watching him from the beginning, so that's nothing new. Lavelle, I've been watching him a few times, mainly in the playoffs, see how he carried himself.
He's the smoothest.
He's too smooth.
Smoothest.
He might be smooth for, too smooth for his own self.
I don't know.
McDade, me and him, we talk a lot throughout the season. It's hard for him to catch my games. It's hard for me to catch his game because he does college. But it's been a couple times. We ref for the first time this past season, me and McDade.
In a Nassau game or?
Nassau varsity.
Cool.
And in Catholic, he watched me ref. He had a game after mine a couple times. This past season for the City Catholic. So we actually got to see each other more this season. But I learned from him, Sean, Lavelle, Kareem. I take a little bit of everything they do, incorporate it into my game.
Anybody else?
Honestly, no, but that I speak to on a regular, no. But I watch Kevin Foreman. I like the way he handles the game. I like the way he manages it. I like the way he handles the refs. I mean, not the refs, the coaches. And I like his game management. And it was good when I went to, actually this year, I went to Manhasset, Lynbrook playoff game. I got to see Brian Jones out there working with Kevin Foreman.
And, he's imposing, yeah, Brian Jones.
Watching both of them imposing. Out there. I'm not going to lie, I missed the whole first quarter as far as the game, just watching them.
Yeah.
And my fiance next to me, she's like, oh, you saw that? Nah. I'm so focused on watching right. them, see what I could steal from their game. But the way they ref that game, I didn't really see the coaches talk to them much. I need games like that.
And it also makes you feel like we're not that far away, but we're still kind of far away.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know what I mean? Because
you could tell, like, you can't get that other than reffing for 25 years.
Yeah.
And that's going to be us.
Those two guys. Just watching that game. Watching how they handle it. Watching how they manage it. Their communication amongst each other. I can't remember who the third guy was. I remember I had his name weeks ago, but I forgot. Mm. But watching the group ref together and the way they handle and manage the game, it was something to watch.
I also like our friendly competition amongst the crop of ourselves.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I watch you, I'm like, I got to step it up a little bit.
I
you know
say
what I'm saying?
Well.
Then you might see me and you're like, oh, damn, Ralph's voice is crazy.
And it's funny because I had watched you during the weekend. No. When we reffed together. And I saw you for a few minutes before I jumped into as a third person during the COS camp. And when I was watching you and the other guy, I forgot he's a Long Island, Suffolk County ref. I forgot his name.
The tall gentleman.
Tall
I remember.
Guy,
yeah, yeah.
The older guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching you guys for like a good 5 minutes. You got strong mechanics.
I was like, yo, you working out? Yeah, me too.
Look at Ralph. I never really watched you like
I know,
that.
But what I'm saying, you know what I mean? You get a little slice and you like, you know.
I was saying that about Arrett. The past, it was 2 weeks ago at Phil's camp. I'm watching the red. I'm like, red look legit out there.
Yeah.
His height, his size,
I know.
His play call.
I need to get some stilts.
Right? You stand up tall. I'm short, man. So you know, I gotta look presentable out there. But it's fun reffing with some guys, man, that you actually grew up with. I mean, as far as like grew in a ref game with.
Yeah, because, you know, I had the same reservations, the same, like, man, I'm not going anywhere with this. Like, especially in the beginning, you, like, I mean, when I first met Brian Jones, he's like, I've turned games down every day. I'm like, when is that going to happen to me? Dude, I'm begging for things. And you hear other people, like, 3-4 years down the line, like, yeah, I got this, I got this, I got this. I'm like, yo, I just want one thing once a week.
Right.
Like, somebody just call me. But then you realize, like, it just takes time.
Yeah.
It just takes time.
So but it's funny because I remember this was my first year of doing PSAL. And when I knew I was in and my fingerprints and all that stuff was done, I was getting into it, I had called up Lavelle. I said, Lavelle, listen. I'm in City Catholic, Long Island Catholic, BOCES. This is about to be my first year at PSAL. I said, I'm not going to lie, man. I don't know how to manage this. I said, I'm going into the season, feel like I'm doing too much. What did you do? So he told me straight up. He said, listen, what's your board? Where you start? I said, board 41. He said, make sure you get those games first. Get those games first. And then you work your way. Make sure your days are blocked and do that with every schedule. As far as when you go on a Zebra Web for PSAL, the Arbiter, and the what's the board 41?
Sports Pack.
Sports Pack.
Mm.
He was like, make sure once you get these games And he told me, he was like, Phil might throw you games first. Mm-hmm. He gets them out early.
Which he does.
He let me know that. So I had gotten Phil games. And he loaded me up immediately. So I'm back in my mind. It's like, you know what? I'm cool with that. Let me just block out my days. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of said, if it wasn't for Lavelle, I would have been finished because I didn't know how to handle all those leagues.
I never shared this with you, but when I first got moved up to varsity, one of the first people I called was Lavelle.
Yeah.
I have a different relationship with Lavelle because Lavelle just bum rushed me one day at Allen Garden, like, yo, you need to go to the city. But when I told him I got varsity, he was like, yo, hold that. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, you and Blake. And he mentened you immediately. Yeah. He's like, you and Blake, y'all gonna bring us to the promised land one day when we come out there.
Right.
I was like, all right, whatever, dude. But everything that him, Kareem, whatever they said to me, always came true, man.
Right.
So shout out to Lavelle and Kareem, man. You don't know how much.
Gosh, man.
Yeah, man.
Everything they said
happened.
Actually happened.
Yeah. And that's why whenever they say whatever they say, sounds good.
And all the new refs that come on board, whatever I learn from them, I try to instill that in those reps. So, you know, I had a couple new guys. I won't say young gunners because a couple new guys is older than me. So I say a couple new guys that ask me a few questions on how to handle certain things or what to do from here or look at them on their mechanics. So, although I'm still learning, I'm still teaching some of what I'm still learning. So, I mean, you can never stop learning with the ref game.
Right. And I think you even become a better learner when you start teaching it too, especially when you're coming from your own experience.
Right.
You know, because I think we all have a story to tell, hence that's why you're on the rant.
Yeah.
Would you ever consider officiating another sport? And if so, what would that sport be?
No, I haven't even thought about it. I always said, it's always if I officiate this. But to be honest with you, no. If I do officiate another sport, it would be football. But I don't know. Mm. I don't even know if I'll do that. I don't like being in the cold.
Yeah, and also, you know how you're supposed to have a game today outside. Those games don't get canceled.
Yeah.
Those games don't get canceled unless there's lightning.
No, you out there.
Yep. Okay. How important is working out to you? And also discuss the importance of eating right. I know you always looking right, man. I saw you jump roping on your Instagram story.
Yeah, man. I always put a workout post. You know how I do, man. I stay in the gym. I stay in the park. They always tell you to stay in shape. But that's not the reason why I hit the gym. I've been hitting the gym before. I just like to, you know, stay in shape, look good. You know, I always like to keep progressing, building my body, eating right. Because when your diet complements your workout. It complements each other. So I could be working out every day, but if I'm not eating right, I'm not going to see no progress. Mm. If I'm eating right and not working out properly, I'm not going to get the build that I want. So basically, you got to make sure you complement the workout. I mean, make sure the workouts and the diet complement each other. But as far as working out, you know, I want to be a personal trainer soon, so I think I'm going to focus on that pretty soon, but that definitely won't take away from my officiating.
I think that just complements your goal towards being the best that you could be.
Yeah, so that's just another side thing for me, but I don't even treat officiating as a side gig anymore. I find it like one of my professions now, because sooner or later, that's where I want to get to the college level. Mm. No, junior college, D3, and then, you know, keep on working. Because me, growing up, always loved the challenge. So my challenge was to play college ball. Everybody dreamed that play ball is they want to get to the NFL. They want to get to the NBA. that outlet was closed a long time ago for me. So maybe I could take that level or those steps to get there through ref. Was just, I love the game. So me being around the game and seeing other players, that's another thing. It makes me feel a little more important as a ref. When you go to certain do certain leagues, do certain tournaments, and a lot of these players recognize you.
And they're like, oh, this guy's here. We're good.
Yeah.
We're good. We're not getting screwed tonight.
Or they see, yo, what's up, ref? Boom, boom, remember me? You ref my... I feel like when you hear that, I can't speak for all refs, but you know you're starting to be recognized.
Right.
Even a couple kids, as a matter of fact, last week, I'm in the gym. These two dudes came up to me. It was like, yo, ref, what's going on? And I'm looking at it. I'm laughing because it's funny to me. Mm. So I'm like, where you guys play at? And I forgot, one kid was like, nah, you never did none of my school games yet, but you did a couple tournaments of mine. I'm like, oh, okay, okay. Said, I remember you. And they started mocking me. It was like, you loud on that court. I'm glad. Mm. I'm glad. Mm. You hear me, the coaches hear me, the crowd hear me. That's what we want. Mm. So I'm like, thank you.
So after everything you said, what do you think are the attributes? What do you think it took to get to where you are now as a basketball official?
Repetition. Lots of repetition. Working on the craft, being in the mirror. And I didn't take that serious when my mentors or even other refs I ref with, all the vets that I ref with out there, when they told me, like, listen, man, you're good, you look sharp, but stay in the mirror, continue being in the mirror. And that mirror or being outside looking at your shadow, that works. It works. And like I said, I'm doing that more often because I want to stay sharp. I want to progress. I want to get to that next level. And like I said, the higher I go, the more challenges are there. And me, I'm all about challenges. Whether it's me reffing or me working out, whatever the case may be, if a challenge is there, I'm taking it. Mm. So that's how I look at it when I'm working out, and that's how I look at it every game I start to officiate. No matter what level. And that's another thing. No matter what level I'm reffing at and how good or bad the game is or the play is, I'm out there reffing. I used to be one of those refs that lollygag until I realized that you never know who's in the crowd. You never know who's in the crowd. Because I did one game. It was a kid's game. And I had a referee. An official's son's game. And he walked in, he saw me. I didn't see him until like the fourth quarter. And we shook each other's hands. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow.
Played yourself.
How long he's been here? But I was reffing. Mm. I was reffing, I was making the calls and I was selling my calls. So after the game, I remember he was like, oh, you bought 41, right? I'm like, yeah. He was like, I like the way you ref. You still in tune no matter what level. He was like, because you never know who's watching. Mm-mm. I'm like, yeah, you're right. But you missed the first quarter. So, I didn't say that to him, but I said, because the second quarter, I'm saying to myself, you know what? Get out there. Start reffing, man. Because I was reffing.
I got you.
I just wasn't pushing myself.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I wasn't pushing myself.
You wasn't pushing yourself like it was the Phil Celestio family.
Yeah, exactly.
Understand. Having said that, what do you think it's going to take to get to where you want to go? And ultimately, where do you want to go as a basketball official?
The highest level possible, Division I. But like I said, I know it's a process. I know it's steps. So my goal is to get to the JUCO and D3s. If in the next couple years, I won't say next year, but I'll say within the next couple years, I would like to be there. If not, I just got to keep on working on my craft. Mm. You know, if I'm not there next year, if I'm not there in the next 2 years, I got to you know, work on my craft. Maybe something in the game that I'm missing. Mm. Maybe I need to change something. Who knows? So therefore, I got to continue working on my craft, working on mechanics, my play calling, continue watching myself on video, keep my head in the mirror, watch myself working on my voice, projecting my voice. And I think everything will fall in place from there.
I think so. And we always hear this when we're at the level where we're at, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I just think you need to do a little more.
Yes. Keep doing what you're doing, and when you think that you're not going hard enough, work even harder.
Yeah.
What do you think was the most stickiest situation that you've ever been playing, and what was the most stickiest situation that you've ever been in officiating?
Playing the finals, the regional finals to get to the nationals. Junior college, my second year. I want to say hitting key free throws, which didn't matter because we lost. But it was a sticky situation. I made two key turnovers, but then came back, had an and one that tied the game, and two free throws to put us up by two. From what I remember, I could be wrong. It's been so long. Damn. Mm. But I say the regional finals. Even though we lost, like I said, in my second year in college at SUNY Cobleskill, as far as playing.
Mm-hmm.
But officiating, wow, it was this year. I had a play control foul. It was at Malloy High School, freshman. It was Malloy against Stepanak. It was a good game. Tight all the way
Stepping
through.
Stepanak, the assistant coach, was wiling this year, the freshman coach.
Yeah. But he was cool. It's crazy. He did go crazy the first two games, but it was only in the first half. He calmed down the second half. But and it wasn't even that crazy. I might make it seem like it's excessive, but it wasn't. But the Malloy coach, I don't want to get into that, but I had gave him a warning early in the game. And a good thing I gave him a warning, because what I'm about to tell you is crazy. I had a player control foul on his big man. And his big man, he's going to be good. He's going to be good. But I had a player control foul. And as I'm reporting to the table, I hear him yelling, screaming, going crazy. So I reported. I said, "Coach, relax, blah, blah, blah." I'm trying to calm him down. He's starting to calm down, but he gets loud. Boom, bang, with a warning. I didn't want to give him a tech. I just wanted to give him a warning and see how he handles that. So I gave him a warning. We shot free throws. Free throws.
Why? Why? What are you thinking?
You know what? Me and my partner, we even discussed this at halftime. And we shot free throws. Stepanak hit them both. Hit them both. So we sitting there.
Did you know? Like, wow.
We knew after the free throws because it was a timeout. So, and I'm going to say I've learned from that. I'm happy it happened to me.
I'm happy I'm hearing this story.
I'm happy it happened to me. But I'm happy I went through that now.
Yes.
In this stage of my career than later.
1,000%.
1,000%.
So, and you learned it in a way that you'll never do it again.
Yeah. Long story short, we go in the locker room. My partner, like, "Yo, we shot those free throws." He's like, "Fuck." He's like, "Fuck." But I'm like, "Yeah. You think they know?" He's like, "Yeah." The Malloy varsity coach came up to me. He was like, "You know, we wasn't supposed to shoot those free throws." And I'm like, "Oh, shit, man." like, you think? I was like, absolutely the coach knows. You don't think the varsity coach of Malloy? No, I'm told you. Like, so we go back out there, make a long story short. So Chris comes up to us like, do you guys realize they shot free throws? It's like, we definitely realized that. He was like, there wasn't spots at Chris. It was a horrible mistake. You have all the right to be upset. We shouldn't have shot those free throws. He said, no. He said, I don't want you giving me a tech. I said, I'm not. I said, you have all the right, but that doesn't give you the right to go crazy in the second half. Mm. I said, that's not going to happen. He's like, no. Although he calmed down. He definitely calmed down that second half. It was smooth. Like I said, let's fast forward to the end of the game. Malloy's up one. We're like,
this can't happen.
1 second left. They up one. So my partner's looking at me. I know what he's thinking. I know what I'm thinking. But we got to ref this game. No shadiness. Don't do none of that. Nothing. We have to ref this game. It has to happen. So we were sitting there like trying to figure out what's going on. They call a timeout. Stepanak calls a timeout. Malloy calls a timeout. So Malloy's inbounding the ball. Malloy inbounds the ball. Guy on Stepanak hits the ball back into the kid that's out of bounds of Malloy. Boom. Stepanak's ball. My heart's beating. Not a second went off that clock. My heart is beating.
My heart is beating right now.
So I'm sitting there. Like, I'm like, how is this going to play out? Stepanak inbounds the ball. Kid has a clear shot. I'm looking at it. I'm like, my life is over.
It's in line?
He's going to have to call Phil, tell Phil everything. My life flashed right before my eyes. I'm just sitting there. The ball goes, bounces, twirls in the basket, pops out.
Oh, my God.
Malloy wins. Partner looks at me. He's like, let's go. So we go in the locker room, and we're speaking about it. After a while, Chris comes in. He was like, wow, that was a good game, tight game. 1 point win. He didn't mention anything about the free throws. So me and my partner was like, if Stepanak won that game, he definitely would have called Phil. I said, absolutely.
Yeah, would have been on the news.
I said, absolutely would have called Phil. But, yeah, that was a sticky situation, the most stickiest I've ever been in.
Listen, I've done almost 100 episodes of this podcast. That was the stickiest one I've ever heard, aside from gunshots and pull-up guns. That's like a situational thing that
right.
should never happen.
Not at all.
I think that it'll never happen to anyone that listens to this podcast, including yourself. But on the flip side, what is the best moment that you've ever had in playing? And what's the best moment that you've ever had as an official in basketball?
The best moment playing? Damn, I don't know, man, honestly. I really don't know. That's the honest truth.
Let's go straight into officiating.
I had so many great moments. The best moment officiating? 2 weeks ago.
That camp? Yeah. I think it validated a lot of people.
Yeah, that camp. You know? That Phil or Susio camp.
A lot of people probably sunk too, but I think it validated a lot of people.
For me personally, that camp, like I said, the level of play, I felt consistent. I thought I was consistent.
You belonged?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what that camp did for me too? That was the first camp I started. I didn't worry about who else was reffing. I wasn't like, oh, damn, I need work.
Yeah.
I was like,
I was comfortable.
I'm a ref my game.
Crew.
Yeah.
But that same time, I went out there comfortable with all my partners.
Yeah.
Because I ref with him there, all of them, in every camp I went to or during the school year. Mm. And hadn't had an issue with any of them.
Yeah.
I felt reffing with those guys out there. I just felt comfortable. We knew each other. Mm. We went out there. We ref together. We do what we do. I ref with him. Let's do what we did in the season. Ref with him. Let's do what we did at camps. I knew it's just, it's like you never missed a beat with any of them. And if they didn't ref with each other, it's like they was already reffing together before.
Yeah.
So I would say the chemistry out there with both days or all 3 days I ref with different crews, it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Even if I needed to tweak some things in my game, I felt I was consistent all the way through. I was more patient than ever. I allowed the plays to develop and finish. The observers was great.
Mm.
I got, I want to say it was the second day I got observed by, who was it? It was Mike Fleury. Mike Fleury gave detailed things that
you could work on.
Mm. He saw what we did well and then elaborated on that. And then he touched the small things that matter.
Mm.
The smallest things I took into Sunday's games, tweaked all of them.
Yeah, and it was also anesthesia the way they were saying it. They were like, this little thing. Because it never hurt. It was just like, you right? I should fix that.
Yeah.
That camp also made me realize I was never good at basketball, too. Having said that, man, that concludes the podcast. Do you have any final words before we part ways?
Nah, man, I appreciate it. It's been a long time waiting, man. Yeah, man.
This was dope, though. Yeah, this was dope. Your story was great, especially that player control foul. I'm gonna immediately.
That's something I would never forget. Listen, everybody's going to have a story. I don't care how long you've been reffing. Nah, everyone's going to have a story. Just don't have nothing like that.
Yeah, man. Yo, appreciate it.
Appreciate you.
Yo, for Blake Redford, this is Ralph the Ref. This is The Rant. We're signing out. Oh, peace.